Trappo. Dear listener,
we're not talking about lava monsters. This is the show that talks about stuff on purpose. That's what it is.
It is.
We know who we are. Do you know who we are? Do you know where your children are? I'm not Kai and he's not Dustin. We tracked it down and we broke its back because fuck you. But tonight we're doing something a little different. I don't know when you're listening. No one knows. You don't know when you're listening. You don't listen. You're a hypothetical.
You're not even real.
But tonight we're talking about black metal. That's it. Black metal. We're doing it. Oh, wait. No, wait. Hang on. I've just been handed a note from our producer, Billy Bones. Apparently we are not talking about black metal tonight on Trappo. We're not doing we're not talking about black metal because apparently none of the fucking music we listen to is technically black metal.
Hilarious.
I can't. Billy, did you know this?
Why the fuck did he tell us to listen to these albums?
You fucked up, Billy.
God damn it, Billy.
Billy's no good at this. He's not fired because he doesn't exist. None of this is real.
I guess we'll just have to do it ourselves again.
He fucked up. We didn't actually listen to any black metal. The idea, you don't know because we never really let you in on the secret. We decided to do a little thing for the month of August. We're gonna do this little thing we call Black Summer, and it's kind of bullshit from the beginning. We figure, hey, there's 4 weeks. We'll do four Black Summer related episodes of Trappo, knowing full well when we made this decision that we already had two episodes in the can that were unrelated. So we said, hey, let's just figure out a way to bullshit two more episodes into existence, and then we have a theme month. The idea being that we were going to talk about a whole bunch of black metal because apparently there was some kind of demand related to us. People were talking about it on the blog. I don't know why, but they did. Black Summer, a black metal themed month. But the problem is, in the end, we didn't really talk about black metal a whole lot. And we're not really going to talk about black metal this time. It's kind of a bait and switch. We fucked up. It's Black Summer, but it's not black metal. It's black metal adjacent, we'll say, which is gonna have to be good enough. When we made that Liturgy episode, the fucking EP hadn't even come out yet, and now the album is out, the new album. The episode I had finished, so I could have had it out before that EP came out. We were right there, and now the fucking album, the new album is out. Way behind the eight ball on that one. We did not strike right while the iron was hot. Yeah, but we fucked up. We're supposed to be doing black metal. We didn't. I mean, Liturgy is black metal. It's transcendental black metal.
That's one of the things we'll get into in this discussion. The minutiae of subgenre of metal, depending on how broad you want to go, you can always define it down into something else and say that it's not this or it's not that. So we're going to be pretty loosey-goosey with the term black metal here, folks. And if you're a purist, you're just going to have to fucking deal with it.
Maybe three of the four artists / bands that we're going to be discussing are at least inspired by black metal. One of them, I think, is just not. We'll get to it. The idea for this specific episode. Well, I mean, there's a whole thread on our blog, the Trappo blog, the official Trappo blog, Trappo show. Blah, 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 blah. I was a random post. I don't even know which post it was at this point, but someone just started talking about...
Sure, it was a mailbag. And then someone started talking about fucking to black metal in a graveyard.
And that became a whole thing. There were a lot of black metal and black metal adjacent bands being thrown back and forth in that thread, that comment thread. And we decided that we would each pick one of those bands from that thread. We would discuss an album or an EP or whatever, an album from them, and then we would each come up with our own pick. It's not necessarily an album exchange. What the fuck is this? We never thought about a name.
Black Summer Meltdown, or we can make up some shit like that.
You call it the Black Summer Conundrum. I don't know what the fuck it is.
A Black Summer ?
Even that's a little generous, I think, maybe. But, okay, fine. Whatever this is, maybe we'll come up with a name for it by the time this is over, but we probably won't. It's basically an album exchange. It's just four albums.
Yeah.
Two of the albums were taken from the black metal thread. The other two were albums that we just chose at random. Not at random. They're just albums we chose because they're black metal related, in theory.
Those two are definitely, you know, subgenre or two away from what you would call maybe pure black metal. We'll get into that.
we're going to start off with the picks from the blog. We'll close with our picks. This is one of those things where I feel like we should have written down who recommended.
Yeah, I'm literally going back. I was like, fuck. That was on my list of things to do that I forgot to take notes for. It's Trapo's Mailbag 19.
So we're going to do the picks, the blog picks first from our dear departed former listeners. We're going to do those first. And are we starting with yours or mine?
Before we do that part, though, I just wanted to mention to you, in the genre of traditional black metal, what black metal is a little bit.
What?
Just
like how the fuck did we do that? Like, no, you know what? I'm going to look this shit up on Wikipedia, and I'm just going to read the first fucking paragraph. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Essentially, that's what I'm saying.
According to Wikipedia, black metal is an extreme subgenre of heavy metal music. Common traits include fast tempos, a shrieking vocal style, heavily distorted guitars played with tremolo picking, raw recording, unconventional song structures, and an emphasis on atmosphere. Fun fact, artists often appear in corpse paint and adopt pseudonyms, Kai. Did you know that? Pseudonyms.
Yeah.
It began in Scandinavia, basically. A whole bunch of Viking pagans decided to make some real dark, depressing fucking music. They live in a dark, depressing fucking place.
That's the vibe they were feeling. Black metal, you know, has pretty much guitar, bass, drums, vocals.
The blast beat kind.
And synths. Some have synths. Some do not. Like you said, most of them are pretty raw recordings. Even the ones, especially the ones we're going to talk about, some of them distorted to the point where you can barely tell what the fuck is being screamed at you.
Traditionally very anti-theistic. They don't like God. Not a big fan
they're,
of God.
They're anti-theistic, fantasy-oriented.
Nihilism.
Yeah, fantasy. Yeah. There's a lot of nihilism. There's a lot of fantasy elements, wizards and fucking things like that throughout the whole genre.
A lot of druids, nature, the death of nature.
A lot of weird chanting, depending on which branch of black metal you kind of flow down. Double basses and blast beats, ripping your face off, drumming.
A horrifying new world on the bones of a slain god.
It's about atmosphere.
Well, that's atmospheric black metal, Kai. We're not talking about
yeah. not to get too specific, but there is a thing called atmospheric black metal. You want to just ramble off fucking random metal names?
You want to hear some black metal names? Well, we got Celtic Frost, Bathory, Burzum, Satyricon, Abruptum. I like Dissection. That's a good one. Venom, Hellhammer.
Anyone who's a purist of black metal, I should say, is probably not going to like what we're going to say. They're going to be like,
no, that's dumb. That's just not black metal.
We're not talking about Dimmu Borgir or Thromos tonight. So I'm sorry if you're going to walk away disappointed. Just, you know that now, so you can stop listening.
Right.
We're not talking about your darlings, unfortunately, because we didn't get the memo.
We're talking about two albums that were mentioned to us that we both thought were pretty good and worth mentioning.
Well, no, Kai, they weren't mentioned to us. They were not talking to us in this thread. That was the beginning of the end right there.
Kai. Oh, because we didn't. Clearly. Because we were interacting. That's right.
We always forget because our interaction is the mailbag. Mailbags can often be months delayed from when we record to when we air, and that's we have to wait for them.
They've given up on us by then, so they're never going to actually hear.
They're never going to hear our thoughts on Mutterline.
What about the names of different genres like black metal, blackened thrash metal, brutal death metal,
blackened doom,
death metal, heavy metal? Death metal and heavy metal are essentially the parents of this branch. The
kind depressive black metal. That's
the joke. Yeah, technical death metal, avant-garde metal, which we'll be talking about later, I think, or something you could definitely categorize as that.
Experimental black metal.
You know, blackened death metal, doom metal, which we'll talk about later, grindcore, power metal, slamming death metal, I think is I didn't make this shit up. Speed metal, deathcore, depressive suicidal black metal.
Yeah, that's a good
it's
one.
Just it's a very specific. If you're looking, all you need to do is read the title. What kind of band is this? Oh, depressive suicidal black metal. Oh, I'm in. Just hit play. Folk metal, groove metal, melodic death metal.
Yeah, melodic death metal. Progressive death metal.
Alternative metal, which is one of those. The term alternative just means a bunch of random shit that you can't quantify.
It's basically meaningless at this point.
Right.
It doesn't really matter.
And so alternative metal, what is that? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Drone metal, industrial metal, metalcore.
Well, then there's blackened drone.
That shit's good. Did you know porno grind is a thing?
I've heard the name, yes. There's horrorcore, horror grind. Whatever. You know, but there's 10,000 subgenres.
There's pirate metal.
Pirate metal is a real thing.
Symphonic black metal. Christian metal. Fuck, come on.
I don't
melodic
know.
Metalcore. The list literally goes on for fucking ever.
Why do we just say all this random, seemingly random shit? Well, we got two picks that we stole from the blog. Trapo's mailbag number 19. Traposhow.blogspot.com if you're interested. You're not, but if you are. And we're going to talk about a couple. And here's the thing. With these first two picks, you can argue their black metal merits. The thing is, they were chosen by someone else. We didn't choose these. They were recommended by other people. So it's their fault. It's not our fault. If you don't think this qualifies as black metal, you can blame John Doe and CJ. Because guess what? They mentioned this music first. This is on them. But we're going to talk about a couple of their picks. And we're going to start off with a pick from 2016 from an artist called Mutterlein, German for mothers. The album is called Orphans of the Black Sun. Taken from a song performed by Nico from her 1970 album Desert Shores. The song is called Mutterlein. Great song. You should listen to it. It's a great album, Desert Shores. Good stuff. Nico is a very underrated artist. People don't talk about her anymore. They talk about me in the Velvet Underground and Nico. Everyone talks about that, but they don't know about her solo career. Chelsea Girl's a great album. Nico, solid solo work. A vastly underrated artist. Marion Leclerc thought so too, because she took a great deal of inspiration from the late lamented Nico. Nico was one of her primary influences, as well as The Cure and some other people. It doesn't matter. She's French. She's French Kai. English is not her first language. It's kind of easy to pick up on when you get to the track Heirs of Doom, and she says Hairs of Doom. Again, it's not frustrating in the slightest. It's fine. Orphans of the Black Sun is the name of the album. She has another album that came out, I believe, this year, Bring Down the Flags. I listened to that too, and I kind of fucked up because I should have picked that one.
Oh, really?
Bring Down the Flags goes deeper into electronica, which is kind of more in my bag. I'm not going to complain about Orphans of the Black Sun overall. I'm actually very happy with it. There's a quote direct from her Bandcamp. Enter a parallel universe in which Mutterlein invoke abstract fears beneath the dull specter of a dead light. That's how she describes the music. Is this black metal, Kai? No, I don't think it is. It's got elements of black metal in it. Really, it's got more connective tissue to maybe dark wave or neo-folk, maybe apocalyptic folk. There is not a blast beat to be found. It's not really black metal.
After all the subgenres we were talking about, you could put it into any of those. I'm not sure which would probably define it better than saying black metal, but fuck, I don't know which one.
That's a good question. Would Marion Leclerc actually describe Mutterlein as black metal? I don't think she would. I'm going to read this quote from CJ. He describes Mutterlein.
Not pure black metal, more black gaze than anything, with a healthy dose of industrial drones for good measure.
Pretty good way to describe it, I think.
Indeed.
The music is haunting, I would call it.
If this is black metal, you're fucking screaming at the top of your lungs. If you're not screaming at the top of your lungs, it's not black metal. Well, yeah, we get it. But most of this album, I mean, there are sometimes she screams, but most of it she's kind of like speaking, or English isn't her first language, so her singing sounds more like reading. You could say, well, it's not black metal because she's not screaming. Maybe. But that doesn't mean it's not good. And we both thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, there's a simplicity to the musical compositions that I think a lot of people may find problematic, because this is not complex music. It's also not trying to be. It's not subtle. There's a purity to it. Marion Leclerc's delivery, not just as a vocalist, but as a multi-instrumentalist. She's very, I don't know how to describe it. There is a purity to it. She's very enthusiastic about her music.
And I think that was also part of the discussion on the blog was, here's some black metal-ish music that would be easy to listen to instead of just someone screaming in a double bass for 40 minutes and then the album's over. This isn't pure black metal, but this could be a way in for somebody. Someone asked us about black metal. They started talking about black metal, and we were definitely less knowledgeable. The listeners started talking about it, and we started listening to all of these suggestions, because I listened to probably, maybe not every single one in these 40 comments, but probably almost all of them.
We became more knowledgeable about black metal after reading this thread.
Although another thing, like, if we'd communicated that to these people, they would probably still be around. Like, oh my god, we listen to your suggestions, they're great. Yeah, well, if you'd told us less than a year later, maybe it wouldn't matter. So, this was just February of this year, so it wasn't that long ago.
It's like a lifetime ago, okay. I do have to mention Mutterline. It's not just Marion Leclerc. She's teamed up with a multi-instrumentalist producer named Christophe Chavanon. They are the two driving forces behind Mutterline, which they describe as Wish Wave. That is their term. Orphans of the Black Sun. It's got some bones, like some of the foundation. Black metal is definitely in there. It's a little more avant-garde. And I think Witch Wave is a fine way to describe it, because the music does carry a very feminine perspective. It's mm-hmm. progressive, and it's also very angry.
Wave-like in that manner, like it's kind of building and building. I was just thinking, actually, when you said that, each song is kind of like a little wave. Witch Wave seems like a way to micro-describe this particular brand of metal. Witch Wave is kind of a cool way to talk about it.
I mean, it's got some great tracks on it, honestly. I mean, the title, Lesbians, Whores, and Witches. That's how you start off your album. That's great.
She definitely yells lesbians, whores, and witches several times.
She says lesbians, whores, and witches with a full set of tits.
Lesbians, whores, and witches.
Yeah, all right.
All right, I'll keep listening, all right.
From what I've read, My War seems to be the standout for most people.
Yeah.
I like the closer. I like Mother Black Sun, because it's not just doom. The way that keyboard melody kicks in, it's very haphazard. This is going to sound reductive, but it almost sounds like something I would do if I was fucking around on Rock Band. Disarmingly childlike. It actually becomes haunting. It faded in with Lesbians, Whores, and Witches with this slow melody building, and then it fades out with that little keyboard melody. It almost sounds hopeful. There's this little flicker of light in the darkness, and you can hold on to that. It's got some bite to it, and I appreciated it. I like Orphans of the Black Sun. I like Bring Down the Flags a little more. But we're not going to talk about Bring Down the Flags.
But it's also good. It's worth a listen, for sure.
It's worth a listen. But yeah, Mutterline, Marion Leclerc. A very talented musical artist. She knows what she's doing, Kai, and she does it well. That's it.
And it's got traditional black metal, but it also does its own thing to make it a little different. Turn it into Witch Wave. So the second album that we were going to talk about from this particular 40-pack of comments, Little Ditty by a band called Vulgarite.
Recommended by John Doe.
Friend John Doe, Vulgarite. Asheville, not Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville.
Asheville, North Carolina. And John Doe said,
there's just something about a woman growling, damned is the man who wears the collar, kill the man who comes between us and the divine. That puts me in the mood.
He mentioned, John Doe mentioned Feminazgul. It doesn't sound like he's aware that Feminazgul was founded by the same artist who created Vulgarite. It doesn't sound like he knew that. Margaret Killjoy, the artist behind Vulgarite, also founded Feminazgul. Just so you know, she's a multi-talented, not just a musician, but a multi-talented artist, because she's written books, and I've read two of those books. This was completely coincidental. This was not a plan. I've read these books, but she's written two novellas that I've actually read. They both feature the same protagonist named Danielle Kane. The first one was called The Lamb Will Slaughter the Lion, and the second was called The Barrel Will Send What It May. Very folk horror, anarchist, punk-oriented books. I really like them. I've read nothing else she's done, but I would like to. This is just shit I found at book sales. So it wasn't something I tracked down. I was like, hey, this looks interesting. What is it about? Oh, there's like a deer god that goes on a rampage in this one. Well, oh, fuck, I'll read it.
Oh, okay.
What is this? And then after that, I was like, oh, she wrote another one. She wrote a sequel. And so I tracked that one down and bought it used. And I've listened to Feminazgul. I think we talked about it. Yeah, I liked Feminazgul, and Feminazgul is mentioned several times in this blog thread.
Did Margaret Killjoy make all of the music for Vulgarite by herself?
Vulgarite is a one-woman project. Yes. Right. Feminazgul started out primarily with
band Killjoy,
but she did an EP where she did almost all the work. They ended up doing a full-length LP after that, and the LP features a lot of other artists that one of them does the vocals. And The Age of Men Is Over is the name of the EP. What the fuck was the name of the... Oh, No Dawn for Men is the name of the full album. And yeah, she does not do the vocals on that one.
Okay.
Laura Beach is the lead vocalist for Feminazgul now. She has two other musical acts that are both interesting in their own way. One is Alcerath, which is more neo-folk. She's got a great EP called Come to Daggers, which is really good. And the other one, it's not my favorite, but I really like it for what it is. It's called Nomadic War Machine. She calls it Witch House. And she has a full-length album called Are We Not Monsters, which she describes as love songs for lonely monsters. And it's quite endearing. I like it a lot. But we're not here to talk about any of the other things, the thousand other things that Margaret Killjoy has made. We're going to talk about Vulgarite.
We're here to talk about the four songs she made as Vulgarite. Was this the only album?
They call it an EP, but it's 24 minutes long. That's technically full length.
It feels like an album to me. I mean, it depends. If you say, well, four songs makes it an EP, whatever. I don't fucking care, whatever.
Especially when you consider the length.
Over 20 minutes long. I feel like if it was 12 minutes long, sure, it's an EP. But if it's over 20 minutes long, definitely 25 and over, 30 for sure. But 23, 24, that's right in the middle of, it's an EP, it's an album, whatever.
To answer your question, this was released in 2020, and as of today, this is in fact Vulgarite's only work. I don't know if Margaret Killjoy is going to revisit Vulgarite at some point. I've heard nothing thus far.
Well, I guess it was released at the beginning of 2020, so it probably wasn't a COVID project.
No, she's put out a few COVID projects.
She's released all sorts of other shit that was not this. This is essentially a traditional black metal. It's got for sure. It's got most of the essential components, but one of the things I really loved is there's a lot of like church organ being very anti-theistic, not a traditional sound, or if it is, it's used in a very menacing way, because you can make some scary ass menacing sounds on a real giant church organ, but that's not what it's very beautiful and melodic. Some of them almost ironically flow like a church hymn.
That's deliberate, yeah.
Not necessarily satanistic or anti-theistic. What Curse Comes This Way is 6 minutes long and there's like 15 words. It's definitely anti-theistic for sure. Christian heresy and shit. Maybe it is meant to be sort of a mocking tone. I'm not sure. It's kind of hard when they're screaming the lyrics versus you're reading them. When you're reading them, I think you kind of have your own interpretation. Whereas when someone's growling them at you and you know what they're growling about, that's a little different. But if you just hear them, if you just listen to this album, you'll be like, well, it sounds like a black metal album. So I'm guessing they're not praising the Jesus.
This is a direct quote from Vulgarite's Bandcamp. Margaret Killjoy his own words, "Vulgar used to mean belonging to the masses. Vulgarite is an anarchist, anti-fascist band themed loosely around the medieval Christian heretics who sought to remove the mediation between themselves and divinity. Vulgarite is neither theistic nor atheistic, instead interested in empowering everyone to find their own route to meaning." And she describes the music of Vulgarite as black atmospheric doom.
Right. Pretty accurate. That's all about the atmosphere, the very foreboding atmosphere. Right. Something's about to happen for all 24 minutes. You're not sure what, but something is about to fucking go down.
It definitely does call out organized religion throughout in terms of its lyrical content. It also, as you mentioned, a very prominent use of the organ. People listen to the organ, they obviously get those church feelings. She's definitely trying to conjure that here. She says it's not atheistic. It's definitely against organized religion and against the hypocrisy and cruelty of organized religion. What was that? What was that lyric that you had him quote? "Damned is the man who wears the collar, kill the man who comes between us and the divine." Yeah. That's it, right there.
The title is also one of my favorite lyrics. "Fear not the dark, nor the sun's return." Okay, all right. Considering that basically one person crafted all of this beautiful atmospheric feel. Maybe that was the point. Maybe she was just experimenting. Like, I wonder if I can do this. Oh, wow. I could. I made that. Now I'm going to do something else. So maybe there will never be another Vulgarite album. I hope there is.
Maybe she got it out of her system with this. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or maybe it was just, you know, an experiment. And then you make it and then you're like, yeah, I'm good. If it's something she loved making, this would not be the only one.
What she does, based on not just what I've heard, but on her art in general, she's very compartmentalized. All of her different bands, the different names, you have Feminazgul is definitely more straightforward black metal. Vulgarite seems to have been created to scratch a very particular itch. With her other music, with Alcerath and Nomadic War Machine, each of those musical acts exist to help her express herself in different ways, which is an interesting way to, it's an interesting way to go through it, I think.
Yeah, I feel like making a black and doom metal album because I wonder if I can. Oh, I made a pretty fucking good one. Yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna make something else. Maybe you come back to it 20 years later. Maybe you don't. Maybe you never make another painting again. Maybe you never make another black metal album again.
I do have to mention a specific connection. Margaret Killjoy is very inspired by the works of William Blake.
I had a feeling that you are also a fan of William Blake.
The cover of Fear Not the Dark Nor the Sun's Return is actually a painting of William Blake's. And the lyrics of the closing track, A Decade of Prophecy, are all taken from Blake's poetry. She rearranged the lyrics to create a unique song. She said it herself that the music, and in fact the mission statement of Vulgarite, was very much inspired by the works of William Blake, which I find fascinating. And also, just as an aside, this was not planned.
We mentioned in the liturgy episode that Hayley Ravenna Hunt Hendricks is a trans woman heavily inspired by the works of William Blake.
Margaret Killjoy is a trans woman who's heavily inspired by the works of William Blake, and they work in very similar circles with this music. That's just a bizarre coincidence. It's just a thing that happened, and it's one of those happy accidents that I think is very interesting. I will level with you. I've heard Fear Not the Dark Nor the Sun's Return before all this. So I was listening to Margaret Killjoy's music just anyway. This is one of those things that just worked out in my favor because, hey, I know this music. It's fucking awesome. Let's talk about it for a few minutes.
And that's kind of how our metal experience has been. There's a handful of random things that we've listened to and we know, but we're by no means experts. And the things that we've listened to were probably not the foundational bands of the genre. A lot of times it's some random shit that we're like, whoa, this is sort of that thing, but kind of something else. And I think that's why I like it.
I don't want to talk about Hellhammer or Celtic Frost.
We already talked about Black Sabbath, so there's that.
Maybe
that episode isn't, yeah.
We have not actually talked about Black Sabbath at length. I mean, never will.
They're in the canon, moving on.
Yeah, they're in the canon. What do you want? Fairies Wear Boots is awesome. Leave me alone.
Have you ever heard of a band called Black Sabbath? Maybe we should talk about them.
No.
Back to Vulgarite. I thought it was interesting. Like you said, the album cover is a painting by William Blake. Margaret Killjoy entitles the calligraphy above it that says Vulgarite, to some goblin.
Some goblin.
Some goblin did the calligraphy that says Vulgarite and fear not the dark nor the sun's return some above goblin. And below a William Blackpink. Okay, all right. Some goblin fucking did that. So yeah, I just imagine that that's one of their like friends or family or relatives or something. I'm going to credit you as a fucking goblin.
Some talented right? goblin because they know what they're yeah. doing. That's good like calligraphy.
The times are ended. And shadows pass to break.
So, are these two albums in the Trapo Essentials canon?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Shit. Well, I'll tell you what. First off, I would definitely nominate Fear Not the Dark Nor the Sun's Return.
Absolutely. I've listened to that quite a few times, and then I realized, I was like, wait, why is it silent? Oh, the album's over. That's a great album when you're like, wait, where's the next song? There is no next song. It's over. That's how you know it's, oh. That shit was good. I enjoyed that. We'll listen to it again.
I do want to mention, I should have mentioned this when I was talking about Nomadic War Machine. The log line for Nomadic War Machine. Fucked up dance music for spooky queers who hate Nazis. I just think that's great.
I'm down.
Yeah, so Vulgarite, Fear Not the Dark, or The Sun's Return is in the Trapo Essentials canon, but Orphans of the Black Sun from Mutterline.
I would give that an honorable mention.
I like Orphans of the Black Sun. I like that a lot. I listened to it several times. I wouldn't put Orphans of the Black Sun in the canon. I would put Bring Down the Flags into the canon.
Ooh.
But we didn't talk about that album. I just think it's good. I don't think it's great.
Agreed.
It's very good. Marion the Clerk is a very talented musician. It just didn't hit as hard as Vulgarite. It just didn't. I'm sorry. Not trying to cause any controversy here. Great. We love it. We love it here at Trapo. And now we're going into uncharted territory. We're going into the deep water of black metal adjacent music.
We're going to pick our random personal favorites, black metal adjacent categories, wherever they may land, that we happen to like, that maybe we wanted to talk about for a few minutes and let you guys know about, in case you didn't know. Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Like saying that real, like, plain and bored with a straight face. Well, your ass better call somebody. It's not the same if you're not screaming it at someone. But that's the whole point. Anyways, we're going to talk about some other shit now.
We are?
Oh, fuck.
We gonna do it. We're going to start off with... I picked this. So you can blame me. It's an album that came out very recently. It came out in April 7th, 2023. It's a brand new baby from a musical act called Cicada the Burrower. And the album is Blightwitch Regalia. Cicada the Burrower is a pseudonym for Cameron Davis, an artist who's you could say they're quite prolific. They've made a lot of music, and they actually own a record label. Blue Bedroom Records is the name of the label. It's not just their music that she puts out through the label. She puts out other people's music as well. She's put out music through several different names. One of them was called like Devour the Stars Hole or something like that. I don't know. Dolor, Weightless, Hollowed Hands. I swear it's called like Devour the Stars Whole. I didn't listen to it. I've listened to Hollowed Hands because she put out a chiptune record called Side Quest last year, which is great. It's almost dungeon synth, but yeah, I've listened to Cicada the Burrower's music. The Great Nothing's good. Corpse Flower is great. Blight Witch Regalia is her newest work. It's an interesting journey if you know anything, but you don't. If you know anything about Cameron Davis, she's a trans woman. She came out when she was making... Corpse Flower. This was, once again, it was a coincidence. It's just the thing that happened, because I wanted to talk about this album. She came out as a trans woman when she made Corpse Flower, but she didn't start medically transitioning until she started making Blight Witch Regalia. Blight Witch Regalia, it was inspired by her medical transition, because she would see physical changes happening every day when she'd look in the mirror. She felt like her entire body and her sense of self, her soul, was in flux. It created a sense of euphoria within her, because she was finally becoming her true self, and that euphoria, that exuberance, would really shine through in the music itself. It's very full of life, which is weird when you're thinking about something that is related to black metal. But this particular album, out of the four we're going to discuss, is about the furthest from black metal out of them.
Yeah,
closer agreed. To kind of acid jazz and trip hop. This is also the only album of the four that actually prominently features a blast beat, and it does so right at the end of Crescent Moon Smile. The last minute of Crescent Moon Smile is basically turns into black metal.
The rest of the songs are like acid pop, wait, what? And then someone screaming at you. Almost confusing and off-putting at first.
Vocal performance-wise, it is very related to black metal.
Strip this down, like, that's maybe the only black metal element left is the vocals through some of these. I mean, a lot of the noises are made with traditional band instruments, but a lot of them are not. There's a blast beat, but it's at the end of a song.
Yeah,
it's not the whole song. It's not the whole album.
It's the end of the album.
It's not prominently featured in every song, but it's there. So that's
indulges in it right at the end. But really, it is more electronica driven, more jazz driven. It's very. It feels very improvisational, even though I have no idea whether or not it really is. Synth, some psychedelia going on there. Bit of a dream pop feel at times.
There's some kind of dreamy, trippy Alice in Wonderland kind of freaky shit going on.
I read this, and I don't know if it's true. She lives in a co-op. She says that she recorded the lyrics to Blight Witch Regalia. She took the lyrics, wrote them down, put them all into a jar. She added some like flowers and her own blood, set it all on fire, went into the basement of her co-op, took off her clothes and screamed the lyrics in the basement of her co-op. And that's how she recorded the lyrics. I don't know if that's true or not, but you kind of get the feeling it might be screaming naked in the basement of a co-op.
Feels appropriate for these lyrics in the way they're delivered.
Yes,
you make the rest of this shit while smoking some weed in a weird room.
I'm gonna get a little deep with a quote direct from Cameron Davis. This is how she advertises Blight Witch Regalia. So much has changed since I released Corpse Flower. I started hormone replacement therapy. It is such a strange and miraculous thing to endure. I watched every part of me change. Those parts of me that I thought were immutable, everything from my skin to my sexuality. It is all so unfamiliar now. I wrote Blight Witch Regalia to help me work through all that difference, to understand myself, to grieve the loss of who I once was. It's a reflection of my experience these past 2 years, my love, my trauma, my hope. It is a beautiful and terrifying sound. I've never felt more alive. That's what she's working through. There's something about this music that reminded me of Spirit World.
There was something very familiar. I think it's almost like the experimental world creation. Like, it makes its own weird fucking world that just sucks you in, and then you just listen to a 30-minute album. I haven't listened to them together, but I feel like some of that has to do with the way they build the atmosphere of the music. And then the way it kind of drives you through some story, even though there's not really necessarily a story or not one that you really understand. You can read the lyrics, but you don't know what the fuck they're she's saying.
There's just shit going down on this album that I think is maybe interesting.
It's just the feel of it.
Yeah, it is. That's what I mean. I don't think I would draw a direct comparison between Spirit World and Blight Witch Regalia. I just think there's a similar sense of creation.
Yeah, a deeper feel.
It's fascinating to look at Blight Witch Regalia through the prism of Cameron Davis's life experiences, because if you listen to some of the music, the track that has the coolest name, Ares, You Ripped the Child Out of Me, there's this triptych right in the middle. You get Make Still This Beating Heart, Ares, You Ripped the Child Out of Me, and It Was a Mistake, which definitely delved more into the darkness. Looking at it through that prism, there is an element of body horror there, with Cameron Davis's experiences, because she sees her body changing. Blight Witch Regalia is in part grieving what has been lost, but it's also embracing the new, because the only constant in life is change, and she's experiencing it firsthand. It's like a metamorphosis, and that's what the music tends to convey. There's exuberance and beauty, and also a sense of horror, sometimes simultaneously. I genuinely love Blight Witch Regalia. This music is, it's nuts. It doesn't fit into one box. No, it's saying fuck you on everything. It's very confrontational in that way, and I think that's really kind of neat. It's a work of transition, so whatever she does next, it will not sound like this. And I think that's cool. That's one of the things I like about Bandcamp. You can just lose yourself down 1,000 different dark alleys. You don't know what the fuck you just found. She said it herself. She said, my introduction to music didn't really start until my junior or senior year of high school. My buddies got really into Guitar Hero and wound up going on a wild tear, starting a band of their own. I felt a bit left out because I didn't know an instrument. So I picked up the guitar and immediately got into black metal thereafter, which fully alienated me from that group. She went headfirst into black metal, basically lost all of her friends.
That happens.
When I think about the kind of extreme metal that excites me, it's always the stuff that sounds like it's coming from the perspective of a person who doesn't listen to metal at all. Like they kind of created the sound on their own. If you had an indie pop musician write a grindcore record, I would want to listen to that. And that's it.
Yeah, the interesting intersections of musical genres.
The kind of music she's creating. She's finding different angles to attack these genres and basically explode them. You're like, what the fuck is this anymore? It's unrecognizable. That's what makes it interesting, man.
For sure. Of all the things we're going to talk about, this is the furthest from what you would consider black metal, but it's definitely influenced by, and it would not exist without, all of the black metal that had come before it. You can talk about the new shit. You can talk about the old shit. Everyone has already talked about the old shit. That's why we're talking about these particular things. Like, someone mentioned these two albums on the blog, but they aren't fucking super popular black metal albums. When I was looking them up, I was like, these are not essential black metal albums. None of these albums are going to fall on that chart. That's the whole point. You can look up that fucking list and you can go listen to those and you can make your own decisions like we did. And then we found some beautiful, weird, adjacent shit that really caught our attention. Some of it was new and different and weird, like Cicada the Burrower, Blight Witch Regalia, and that album art is cool. Pink with this weird withered mummy witch hand.
Almost looks like a Rorschach, like an inkblot. It almost looks that way.
Like, it may not be anything, but it sort of looks like a weird witch hand made out of twigs or like a mummy hand. Unlike the album artwork of the next album we're going to talk about, that is definitely a wizard hitting a bong.
No, that's the devil hitting a bong.
I mean, the devil, yeah. The devil.
It's the devil hitting a bong. So, spoiler alert, it's Electric Wizard's dope throw. This is psychedelic stoner doom.
Yeah. Came out in 2000, and it was kind of foundational to what doom metal became. I know there was some doom metal before. This was like sort of an important album in the foundation of doom metal. Black metal adjacent, definitely black metal influenced, but then they take it in some weird directions. Dungeon Weed was heavily influenced by this album. This may be the first psychedelic wizard doom album. If there's anything else I've ever heard that's not Dungeon Weed that you could call a psychedelic wizard doom album, it's this particular album.
We got the Holy Trinity here, basically. We got nihilism, right. We got Lovecraft, and drugs. They put all these elements in a fucking pit and they got them high. They got fucked up and made a baby. And that fucking monster baby crawled out of that well like the girl from The Ring. great stuff.
Doomstoner metal band from England.
I mentioned this to you when we did the Dungeon Meat episode, but I don't even remember the context because it's not in the episode. This was just us talking. Right.
You mentioned it and I listened to it and liked it, but it was in the middle of a playlist of things or something else happened and I forgot about it. When we started talking about black metal again, it came up on a things you might like page, and I went, oh my, wait, hold on, I've seen the devil hitting a bong before, let me clear. Oh yeah, I like this.
At some point, this could have been a long time ago, yeah, at some it could point have been years ago. I told you to listen to Dope Throne. It could have been 20 fucking years ago, and you know, just saying that, I felt this weird, oh my god, that really could have been 20 years ago. 2003, I could have been telling you to listen to Dope Throne. So yeah, I'm a very old man. We're both very old men now. We're gonna die soon. Our bones are turning to dust.
Yeah, we're withering away as we speak.
But yeah, at some point I said, Kai, listen to Dope Throne, and then you never did. Just out of the blue, we were talking, trying to finalize the list for this episode. And you just mentioned, hey, Dope Throne?
This is pretty fucking good. Did you tell me to listen to this? You're like, I think, yeah. But also it's pretty fucking good, so we should talk about it.
Not the first album from Electric Wizard.
I think their first album came out in 94.
They started in 93, but I think Super Coven came out in 94. I mean, they had EPs and shit. They had Super Coven and Come My Fanatics. Those are their first two albums. Technically, they're still making music, but the band imploded a little after they made Dope Throne. They made one more album together as the band you would recognize, or the original lineup. And then they just, everyone left, except for frontman Jess Oborn. Not Osborn. It's Oborn. There's some stories about that guy, his life and times.
Before and leading up to the recording of Dope Throne, apparently there was a long hiatus, mostly because of drug use. It's hard to make an album when you're fucked up for weeks at a time.
Apparently they got into a lot of trouble with the law. They set fire to some cars. Yeah. They robbed liquor stores, tried to steal a crucifix from a church. Somebody lost a finger.
And that part, again, very metal. Maybe you're going to set a church on fire. Who knows? Maybe all of the music of Electric Wizard isn't pure black metal, but the spirit is definitely there.
Trying to steal a crucifix from a church. There you go. This quote from Oborn. Did we do drugs in the studio? Of course. As far as the three of us were concerned, what was the point of being in a band if you couldn't indulge? That's one of the perks. For us, it was absolutely essential. They got fucked up all the time. They tried to have a blast, ironically, without any blast beats. Yeah. Until they realized they hated each other and then went their separate ways.
It's funny, if you look up the members of Electric Wizard, it's a very long list of people with names slashed out. The lead singer and one of the founding members, Jess Oborn, and his wife, Liz Buckingham, and then a couple of random people who haven't probably got annoyed with them and left yet. There's quite a long list of people who used to be in the band and are not anymore. Kind of metal. Even if you can make one badass album,
it was all worth it. Well, no, it was 2003. They had to hire a new drummer, and they hired a drummer named Justin Greaves. Didn't last long. 2006, he left the band, and according to Jess Oborn, the parting was not amicable. We fell out big time with that loser. I would piss on his grave. So there's just one example of the
what it may be like to work with this particular person. I don't know. To say that in public about someone you hired, I mean, it was your choice to bring him in.
Just in the interest of fairness, they never made a really good album after Dope Throne. I've at least sampled everything they've done. I was really looking for something like Dope Throne from the and it just never happened.
I think I only listened wholly to one of the albums that was before, and then I kind of sampled a couple of the ones after. I was like, man, don't like where this is going.
Their direct follow-up to Dope Throne was Let Us Pray, and it almost feels desperate, like they're trying to recapture the magic, but they all hate each other at this point,
right?
And they're trying to force something in the studio, and it just doesn't work, and it's a shame.
However, Dope Throne does really work,
and it's good stuff. Anytime an album opens with a direct quote from one of the leading purveyors of the satanic panic, you've got my heart.
When you get into one of these groups, there's only a couple ways you can get out. One is death. The other is mental institutions.
Vinim Sabathi, definitely tugs at those heartstrings.
Also, I think the shortest song at like 4 minutes.
Well, no, the shortest song is The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Dale Griffiths is the name of the prick who you hear at the beginning of Vinod Sabathi, who is a real asshole. One of those guys who has dubious credentials comes along and knows, I know all about the
cryptozoology credentials kind of guy.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who comes up and says, I know all about the satanic cults that are taking control of America's youth.
People valued opinions like that because that's what they wanted to hear.
It's sensationalism.
Pre-internet, we could talk about it for days. Send that motherfucker over and talk to this crazy batshit dude. I don't care.
He testified at the trial of the West Memphis Three. He spewed a lot of bullshit that helped paint these three teenagers in a very bad light. It's not just that he's a crank. He's a crank who caused measurable harm in this world. So Dale Griffiths is a grade A, world-class piece of shit. I just want to get that out there. It's a fun quote. It's fun to... It's, oh, man, what an idiot. But this guy actually hurt people with his irresponsible bullshit. So fuck Dale Griffiths. That's it. I need to say that. I need to make sure people know that. This isn't just fun and games. You're actually playing with people's lives. The Satanic Panic fucked up a lot of people. You mentioned Black Sabbath. You know the Electric Wizard, a portmanteau, a pair of Black Sabbath songs, Electric Funeral, and The Wizard. That's just a piece of trivia in case somebody listens to this.
They don't know where Electric Wizard can put their name.
We know where Electric Wizard got their name from, so shut the fuck up.
Thanks for heading them off at the pass. Funeralopolis is my favorite song. A weird dystopian fantasy about death. Sometimes the way he yells Funeralopolis, it almost sounds like Funeral Palace.
The production of Dope Throne in general is so lo-fi. It almost sounds like it was recorded in someone's garage. It wasn't, but it almost sounds that way. There's so much distortion and drone and fuzz, like a broadcast from hell. The person at the controls is high.
Everyone receiving the message, stoned too.
My favorite track is Weird Tales, just because it sprawls.
It's three different Weird Tales.
Three movements, Electric Frost, Golgotha, and Altar of Melchthal. I don't know what the fuck Melchthal is, but I want to know. By the time you get to Altar of Melchthal, all it is the drone. That's all it is.
There's a song called Barbarian that's about Conan.
There's a video about it.
It's just clips from the movie. It makes sense in the song, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's not inspired by Conan. It's about Conan. He says the name Conan. Hyborian Madness. I love it starts out with that. You hear that?
The Wizard!
Which is a quote. It's Valeria after she gets shot by Thulsa Doom's snake arrow.
And, you know, it's called The Barbarian. And then you just get yelled The Wizard at the beginning. And then it turns into this fucking badass doom metal song. About Conan the Barbarian, fucking shit up.
It's neat that we shift from Lovecraft to Robert E. Howard. They were contemporaries. So it makes sense that they would share space on this album. It just makes me happy that we go from Weird Tales, which is this sprawling Lovecraftian fear. We switch over to Barbarian, which is just burly fucking high fantasy. I'm going to cut the world in half with a fucking big ass sword. This is not black metal in the strictest definition, but it's black metal.
Yeah, I think that's probably why we talked about all four of these albums. At the heart, they are black metal. Technically, they may be different branches, but they're on the tree. So whatever. Mm-hmm. If you want to find out about black metal, go on YouTube and listen to people who actually know how to make music talk about it, because that's not us. You want to hear some weird shit you probably maybe have never heard before? That we're down.
You see, man is rather dismal creature.
Why not? Look around. You'll see what's there. Fear and frightened people.
That's what these are. These are black metal adjacent things that we found that we love.
And Dope Throne is really about I don't even know what the fuck it's about. It feels apocalyptic, but it's also weirdly exuberant. This is one of the first times I listened to music that actually sampled bits and pieces of other fiction.
That was becoming very popular in the early 2000s. Some kind of interesting, kitschy movie. Only kind of nerds and people who really knew about movies knew about, and they'd use a few quotes.
That was from the Dunwich Horror. I've seen that. That's from Conan the Barbarian. This is from Mark of the Devil. I, the Witchfinder, he doesn't just start with a quote from Mark of the Devil. It's about the character Albino from Mark of the Devil.
I am Albino. Wish to see me?
Which is fucking weird to me. I can't believe somebody wrote a song about Elvira. I couldn't fucking believe that. The music could have been terrible and it still would have had my heart because it had the tenacity to do that, to associate itself with shit I already love. Of course, the music's awesome anyway.
Aside from the music being badass.
You were getting high and passing out when I was talking about Lovecraft and fucking Joss Oborn was getting high reading Lovecraft thinking, I want to make music about this shit. I mean, I don't think either of us mentioned that they're British. They're from Dorset. You wouldn't know from the singing. It does not. I don't hear British there. I don't hear it. Mm-hmm. I have an untrained ear, so I can't say with any degree of.
Also, what expert. The fuck do we know?
Yeah, what do we know?
He don't sound British. He just sound crazy.
But yeah, legalized drugs and murder. That is the famous phrase that is emblazoned on the album Dope Throne. And it's a phrase that Oborn came up with because he was fucking high and thought it was awesome. Legalize drugs and murder. Kind of reminds me of a quote that Divine said in Pink Flamingos.
Could you give us some of your political beliefs?
Kill everyone now. Condone first degree murder. Advocate cannibalism. Eat shit. Filth are my politics. Filth is my life. Take whatever you like.
I love Pink Flamingos. This is kind of like Pink Flamingos musically. Well, I don't think we can ever do an episode on Pink Flamingos. I don't think we can do it.
Anyways, let's wrap this shit up.
Yeah, Electric Wizard never hit the highs of Dope Throne again. And that's it. It just didn't work out. They're still technically around making music, but I'm going to be that guy who gives a shit. It's not good. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm saying it's not
that
good.
Not that good. That happens with artists. Sometimes they pick a different vein of their music to follow than the one you actually were listening to them for.
And that's a shame, but also we still got Dope Throne out of it.
Right.
Yeah, that's Dope Throne from Electric Wizard. The boys from Dorset made one masterpiece.
I think it's in the Trapo Essentials canon.
We didn't talk about Cicada the Burrower, but I think Blight Witch Regalia should be in there too. I think it should be.
I would agree with that.
Okay, fine. Dope Throne came out in 2000. We're late to the party. As far as the other music goes, maybe we'll be shining a spotlight on it. Maybe somebody will listen to this episode. They'll take a chance on Vulgarite or Cicada the Burrower or even Mutterlion. Why not? And say, hey, yeah. You know what? Turns out that's actually pretty good music. Thanks, Trapo. You're welcome, imaginary listener. You're welcome. Now, was any of this black metal? No, not really. But also, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
It's Black Summer, but it's our Black Summer. It means liturgy, talking endlessly about black gaze music. And it means whatever the fuck this is. This quartet of musical works from people who were deeply inspired by black metal, but may not have made black metal. And if you want to tell us how wrong we are about all this music that we've put out and tell us we've missed the point and we have no idea what black metal really is and we're posers and fuck you, you know, you go ahead and do that. We'd love to hear your feedback, asshole. Just go to the official Trapo blog.
Where?
It's the official Trapo blog, Kai. Traposhow.blogspot.com. TRAPPOshow.blogspot.com. Go there. Go to any one of these Black Summer posts. Leave a comment. Leave 1,000 comments telling us how much we suck. That's fine. Perfectly reasonable.
We've been there. You can, but you will choose not to. But you could send us an email. Traposhow@gmail.com. Holy shit. There is a monster spider climbing right in front of me. That motherfucker is huge. Traposhow@gmail.com.
And also, if you're interested in sharing pictures of your favorite toilet, trapotoilets@gmail.com. We're trying to build our toilet album. We're building the Hall of Fame. This is not a joke, by the way. It sounds like a joke, but it's not. It's a real email address. And you can send us pictures of toilets if you want. I have no idea why I secured trapotoilets@gmail.com. I don't know why I did it.
I think,
I think maybe if one person sends us a picture of a toilet, it would have all been worth it. And maybe. Well, worth it, you know, it's a relative term. But yeah, this concludes our Black Summer I think we may have failed. I don't think we were trying, though, to be fair.
No, not really. It's kind of more scary when the giant spider is out of view.
Oh, sure, sure, absolutely. We have fun.
I enjoyed listening to and talking about these albums, so
yeah.
You're probably not really going to enjoy editing this conversation.
But, you know, that's the way it works. That's editing. That's what editing is.
It's also probably occasionally mildly entertaining.
Mailbags are probably the most entertaining to do simply because of the variety of conversation, but it's also structured.
All of us talking shit about the people that you have to, you're like, man, I should leave that in, but also...
Then I do.
They're a frequent commenter, but fuck them, whatever, I'll leave it in.
As we've kept doing mailbags, I just leave in all of the extraneous shit that should be cut out because it's cruel. I just leave that in now because I don't fucking care. Not necessarily the way to grow an audience. We made so many mistakes, and this is not the last mistake we're going to make. You, dear listener, will be making a mistake if you don't get the fuck off the internet. Oh, fuck it, whatever. Just get off the internet, asshole. Fuck cares. It's over. Huge fans of black metal
or musical experts.
I thought you were gonna say or music. We're just not huge fans of music. We don't even understand what music is.
So listen to us talk about music.
I mean, yeah, we've
never heard music. We know nothing.